been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday morning. It is the May 4th edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. And I am here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. And we still have issues in the Middle East. Not solved yet, but market's doing okay. The Dow is down 213 right now, which puts it at 49,286. The NASDAQ is positive. We're very positive for the day, which I was kind of shocked to see that. A couple big winners today. The NASDAQ is up 0.1% right now. 0.01%, actually. It's up 3 points. The S&P 500 is down 8 points after hitting new highs last week. All-important crude oil, the most important commodity in the world right now, up 99 cents per barrel today only at 102.93. Bitcoin is down 147 to 78.571. Bitcoin has had a little rally. I'm not a Bitcoin fan, but I have to acknowledge the little rally that it has had here recently. And gold is down $74 per ounce. Gold remains extremely weak right now. I'm glad we cashed in our gold for a nice profit earlier this year. Gold is down 1.6% so far. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, 25 years behind the mic and the trading desk, and all the fun that comes along with that. And I'm here with Barry Kite, who doesn't quite have 25 years yet. Are you counting the years you've had, Barry, in the industry?
Yeah, 25 since March of 2021. I mean, 2001. So it's gone by pretty quick. So yeah, 25 in a few months. So.
Well, I didn't get into this industry till I was 44 years old. So I had a whole different career before this. This is my second rodeo. First career ended well. This one I enjoy immensely. And from a start at 44 years old to where I am today, I feel pretty good about what I've accomplished in this industry. And just think where you can be, Barry, when you're my age. Not that I'm old or anything. I'm still very young at heart. I jump in and out of that boat, and the proteges here that were working for me, they go, you know, you're still really agile and limber. I said, you know, I take good care of myself, and I keep myself healthy. The market had a huge day on Friday. Oh, my gosh, what a day. We had one of our best days of all time. And wait until you hear what I woke up to on Saturday when I looked at the current earnings forecast for this earnings season.
I saw it in the newsletter, yeah.
I was shocked.
Get the behind-the-scenes version.
When I got up off the floor, I wrote about it. In all my years in the industry, I have never seen an upgrade, not to one stock's earnings, not to one sector's earnings, but for the earnings of the entire S&P 500. It was unbelievable, and we'll go over that number here in a bit. Of course, that gutsy market call that I made back on May the 8th, actually I made it around May the 5th, privately. Not privately, but to just our people. And then it went public to the general public with the article on Seeking Alpha. The Dow was up 1.62% on Friday. The NASDAQ was up 0.90, but that doesn't even begin to tell the story with all the huge winners in the chip space, the memory space, the AI space, and even still the energy space.
Yeah, the memory space this morning. I don't know.
Oh, can you believe this?
Yeah, I'm looking at the numbers as you're talking, and I can't quit looking at
it. It's unbelievable. It's once again, it's SanDisk, which may be one of the best purchases I ever made. It's up there. It's going to make my Wall of Fame, which is a pretty long list, to be honest with you, over the last 25 years. We go back to Green Mountain Coffee, iOmega, some of the biggest winners of all time. Who would have ever thought a K-Cup would change the world and disrupt the whole coffee industry? But it did. And was one of the great winners. Of course, I could go on and on and on. Someday, I'm going to make some engraved gold plaques and hang them in my office here.
Yeah, I remember you used to have the trophy. Sometimes the trophy would show up on the app. Remember where you'd have a trophy by a particular name?
That's right.
Which always fun.
Well, you know, to be in this business and to do this national radio show, I have to stay on top of current events. I have been a guy who has been on top of current events since the third grade. That is an absolute truth. My teacher used to ask me, I knew every capital in the world, not the U.S. Well, I knew the U.S. too. That's nothing. But I knew capitals all around the world, and I had little jingles in my head. You know how I remembered Yugoslavia? Barry, Yugi rings the bell. Belgrade, okay? I knew every capital, and I knew every world leader around the world in the third grade. That's no joke.
Now, what happens when they start changing the name of the capital?
Well,
that's
okay.
What gets me. Or the name of the country. You know, I've seen a few over the years.
Yeah. The falling apart of the USSR, which I grew up with,
right.
Which was in place at that time. Many of those countries have different names, different capitals. Many of them are now free, no longer under the United Soviet Socialist Republic, who I guess when I was that age was probably under Khrushchev. Nikolai Khrushchev, and I remember he's the one with the spot on his head, I think, wasn't he?
Well, that's Gorbachev,
That was Gorbachev, okay.
Then, wasn't it Khrushchev?
I always thought maybe he went fishing and a bird hit him. I've had that happen to me,
one time. Was it Khrushchev, the one with the shoe, right?
He threw the shoe across the table, and Ronald Reagan said, Mr. Khrushchev. No, he said Mr. Gorbachev.
Yeah, that was Gorbachev.
Tear down this wall. Yeah. And the wall did come tumbling down, just like the walls of Jericho, when the children of Israel brought the walls, they came a-tumbling down. They used trumpets and whatnot to bring those walls down, and Reagan basically used peace through strength, which I am obviously a big believer in. And it would seem, just from where I sit, that what we see today in Iran is very similar to what we saw back then. Take this wall down, Iran. Let these people have freedom. And we're definitely exhibiting our strength. Now, I understand that we are currently escorting ships through the Strait of Hormuz. There were two or three freighters that came through tomorrow with a destroyer on either side of them. Which reminds me of my days in San Diego, where I spent about 55 years or so, maybe 60 years, somewhere in there. My office was in the premier building in downtown San Diego, overlooking the San Diego Bay. And I could literally smell the diesel fumes of the Navy destroyers as they passed by just below my office. The San Diego Harbor is full of destroyers. It's full of the mothball fleet from World War II. It's full of submarines from Ballast Point. It's home of the Navy SEALs where they train. I watched all of that from my office. I've said that I was filling up my boat one day to go fishing at the gas dock. And up comes a rubber raft, a pretty good one, a nice one, not like one you're in the swimming pool with, but it had 12 Navy SEALs in it, and it was a cold day. I don't know why I was going fishing. It must have been good fishing. It was a cold day, and the leader of the Navy SEALs, they docked up at the gas dock,
right.
And he said, okay, everybody in the water. Now, these poor guys, it was 6:30 in the morning, they're fully dressed, and they're battle gear, whatever it is, they got to hit the water, which was about 57 degrees. They says, okay, get back in. Well, they're men. I'm all bundled up in my jacket on my cabin cruiser. I felt like a wimp of a man at that point in time as my masculinity was being challenged. But anyways, that's what I see. They call it Project Freedom. So God bless America as our destroyers. Oh, you know what? I just got to say one more thing. There is nothing more beautiful and would bring a tear to my eye than when those ships return from deployment after 6 months away from their families. And they come in the harbor and the flags are flying and every man is in his dress uniform standing at attention. And the anxious wives and children are waiting on the shore to be reunited with their loved ones. I'm going to get to that earnings story that floored me. Literally, first thing Saturday morning, I get up pretty early, get a good start on the newsletter, and the macro outlook is probably the one thing I spend the most time on. Besides those technical charts, which reading the tea leaves and reading the charts is important, but that macro outlook is where it all begins. You know, if you remember the Can Slim days, the William O'Neill Can Slim methodology of picking stocks, the M stood for market. Without a good market, I don't care how good your stock picking prowess is, you're going with with the wind in your face, and without a good economy, you're out there with the wind in your face. And that's why my macro outlook takes a look at the general conditions in the market, which the wind continues to be at our back mightily.
And that's why it shows up earlier in your newsletter, right? I mean, in terms of, you know, you're looking at that macro outlook. You got to get the, you know, as you say, you know, a lot. You got to get the, you know, the market call right first.
Yes.
Right. The, you know, yes. The top down approach.
And I'm doing a lot of delegating of the newsletter and a lot of just the mundane but you know, the rote things that updating the graphics, updating the charts, whatnot.
The collection of your different resources and mashing them all together.
Yes, and but that macro outlook part is one I would never, you know, until somebody really has had 25 years like I have looking at them. Here's the number. Earnings growth. This is the very first line in my weekly macro outlook. And you can compare my macro outlook against the street's macro outlook, the consensus macro outlook. I do my own numbers. I do tend to lean towards the consensus earnings numbers that are out there on various companies and on the street. But I do my own calculations on what I think the market is worth 1 year from now. Here's how it started out on Saturday, and when I saw this number, I was absolutely floored. Earnings growth for Q1 2026. So remember, the first quarter of this year is gone. It's now, 5-6 weeks ago it ended. But we are now reporting in on that quarter that ended on March 31st, 2026. Last week, I was shocked to see that the number had risen to 15.1%. What do I mean by 15.1%? I mean that the earnings for this quarter versus the same comparable quarter last year, the first quarter of 2025, we were at 15.1% last week, which is pretty startling. You know, the GDP of the country is, what, 2 or 3%, something like that? And for the market to be expecting quarter over quarter 15% growth, that's pretty remarkable. But wait, don't stop there. As I opened up this week's research letters and all my sources I go to for the data that I process through my gray matter in the brain, this week, the expectation is 27.1%, Barry. I've never, ever seen a number like that, number one. That just the raw number. But the magnitude of the increase, I've right. never seen that in the 25 years I've been in the industry. From 15.1% to 27.1% in 1 week. And it was basically three stocks. But who's counting? It doesn't matter. It's still the aggregate earnings for the S&P 500.
We had $7 trillion of earnings, or of market cap earnings just on that one day last week. I knew you had a lot of number crunching to do over the weekend.
Oh, my eyes are buggy. I had a headache like you can't believe Saturday night after looking at all that stuff. But it was a good headache. There's a bad headache and there's a good headache. It was mostly Google or Alphabet. It was Meta, even though Meta sold off, but they guided much higher, and that's into that 27.1%. And Amazon, those were the three biggest factors in this increase, along with several other second and third tier players. And if you go back to December 31st, as we looked at this quarter, the numbers were at 12.7%. So they've gone from 12.7% to last week's 15.1% to this week's 27.1%. Now, there's one other factor. The blended profit margin for this quarter is now coming in at 14.7%. That will be a record haul in profit margin. I've never seen a profit margin like that. And we could get up to 15% profit before this is all over. But, that's not companies like Target that sport a 2 or 3% profit margin, or McDonald's that might have a 5 or 6% profit margin. This is the NVIDIA's and the AMD's and the Micron. What is Micron's profit margin, for heaven's sake, right now?
Yeah, remember we saw the stats I think it was like 30% of the S&P's, earnings growth was attributed to, primarily Micron. There was one other name in there, but it was, mainly Micron and NVIDIA. Like, I think it make up, I don't know, I think it's about 55 or 50% of that earnings growth before you crunch the the new numbers, because that's even more now in terms of the broad market.
The glass half empty folks would say, well, Gunderson, it's only coming from 2 or 3 stocks. Well, that's not the case. There's 500 companies in the S&P 500. They all complement one another in some way or another. Oil stocks are seeing big increases in their earnings estimates. The soggy stocks, stodgy old growth giants of yesteryear, a term I coined several years ago and will continue to lose because nothing says it better about the growth giants of yesteryear, like AT&T and Procter & Gamble and Kimberly-Clark, all these dull single-digit growers. No, their profit margin, they're also in that single-digit area. But this is 2026. Those stocks have been passed by long ago, and that's why I coined the term for my show, for my app, for my newsletter. Very simply, best stocks now. Where are the best stocks now? Now, Johnson & Johnson may have been a best stock at one point in time, as was Pfizer, and many other examples can I give. Macy's, and go on and on and on. Once powerhouses and now just a shell of what they once were, they've become soggy.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
We're back. I got to do a little bit more on these earnings numbers. Because, as you know, I've said it year after year after year after year, in the real estate market, it's location, location, location. And in the stock market, it's earnings, earnings, earnings. That's what valuations, for the most part, in the stock market are based on, the earnings or earnings potential of a company. And, when you have this kind of growth in earnings in the S&P 500, it's pretty hard to be bearish, even though CNBC will line up three or four people a day trying to convince you that we're going into a recession or that a bear market is imminent, and they'll cite things like, well, sulfuric acid isn't getting through in the Strait of Hormuz. Oh, okay. Yeah, that has a lot to do with the earnings of the S&P 500. Today, I saw the guy who, he is 100% negative. 100% negative. Every article he ever writes is negative. His articles always trend on Seeking Alpha. He's a total buffoon. And he's saying, 8 reasons why you can't believe these numbers. Next week it'll be 7 reasons why I think this is... It's just incredible that people can't admit when they're wrong. I've never really met a rich pessimist before. Well, I guess there are some that have overcome their pessimism.
Maybe they become pessimistic after.
Yeah, I think maybe a better word is cynicism. There's so much cynicism out there. And refusal, you know, look, I mean, 2 years ago it was because Biden was president. This, now it's Trump, there's Trump derangement, there's presidential derangement syndrome, but I've never seen more derangement syndrome in my life than we've seen against Trump. He's a very meteoric lightning rod type of figure, for better or worse, and they will go on and on and on trying to make everything he's doing look bad while the market is hitting new highs all the time, okay? I'm more concerned about what the market's doing and what the earnings are doing, no matter who the president is. and that's what I use, rather than my political bias one way or another, which only gets you in trouble and closes off your mind to reality. It really does. Okay, let's just take a look let's dig a little bit more into this earnings picture of the market, which I've never seen a better one. And then we're going to get into the valuation on those earnings, which is a whole other subject. And that's really the whole crux of the market outlook. It's the current picture for earnings. It's the current projection for earnings, which is vital, critical. And then it's, how much are those earnings trading at right now? Where have they traded at historically? And what kind of upside potential do we still have in the market? Okay, let's go back to the earnings picture here for 1 minute. We talked about quarter over quarter now. This quarter, Q1 of 2026, versus the same comparable quarter from last year, Q1 of 2025, let's just take a look a little bit further. Next quarter, the one that we're currently in, but it won't end for another 2 months, we're expecting expecting 23% growth in earnings next quarter. The quarter after that, 21%. And for the year, we're expecting 20% growth in earnings year over year. We're going to have 126 S&P 500 companies report earnings this week. Right now, the consensus estimate for this year is $325 per share in earnings. That's already baked into the cake. That's pretty much the P.E. ratio. It's the forward P.E. ratio that we're looking at right now. The earnings estimates for next year, and this is what the market's trading on now, is $378 per share earnings, S&P 500. Stick a 20 multiple on that, you get a 7,500 S&P. And let's not forget that the market has been trading more in the 22 to 23 range, so it could support an 8,300 PE or a target price on the S&P very easily. Now, having said that, the current forward PE of the market is right now at 21.5. Now, when I put out the compelling, jumping up and down on my desk buy signal back on April the 5th of this month, or of last month, it was down to 19.9. So some of that
just
value,
under 20. Yeah,
just
right.
Under 20, and we've been traveling at a miles per hour of 23. Mm-hmm. We were down to 20, just under 20, Now we're back to 21.5. We're kind of right in the middle, which suggests to me that, number one...
But earnings growth has gone
well,
up.
Well, there's right? the That's, deal. Yeah, the right. forward PE went down this week because as the stock market went up a little bit, what you're dividing into the stock market is the forward earnings estimates, which went way up this past week. So that lowered the forward PE ratio. And the consensus target price out there right now on the S&P 500 is about 8,400. 8,400. So maybe I should write an article, one reason, not eight reasons, one reason why the market should continue to go higher from here. And what's driving the bus? No, it's not the local shopping mall. It's not the restaurants. There's a little space exploration taking place. That's helping out a little bit. The oil stocks obviously are doing better than they have in recent years due to $102 oil. But what's driving the bus is the billions and maybe trillions. I don't know how much has been thrown at these private companies. And these private companies have this massive hoard of cash that investors have given to them. I'm talking Anthropic. I'm talking SpaceX. I'm talking OpenAI and all the other players out there that have had just hundreds of billion dollars thrown at them. Okay, I don't like the companies, the stocks that have had the money thrown at them. I like the companies that the private companies are throwing the money at to build out their infrastructure. And that's pretty much your data center, your software, AI software, your AI connectivity, which includes fiber optics and copper. And at the core of it all are the chips. You can't do it without the chips and the dip. You got to have the chips, the NVIDIA chips, the AMD chips, the Marvell chips, the Broadcom chips. And don't forget the memory chips. No. Remember the Alamo, and remember the memory chips.
And now remember the lights. And remember the optics. Yeah, remember the optics. I think
stay on the sunny side of the street. Fiber optics are concentrated light. Light is good. Light is truth. Darkness is not good. Now, what did Apple say, Cook, in his, he's winding down his career at Apple. What did he say was the biggest headwind that Apple faces right now? Did you catch that, Barry?
I did not, but I mean, I know what the biggest headwind
okay,
is.
Okay, go ahead.
They do. It's one simple thing. Can you make Siri work properly? And if you can, that means that you probably have, hit your AI strategy in some form or fashion. It blows my mind that Siri is like the original, AI bot, right, that we've all had access to for years now on our phone. And, you say something to Siri and my kid comes up with better answers,
Well, you're wrong, but it's a good try. The biggest headwind, and it's not Governor Newsom. It's not Gavin Newsom, although he is a headwind and a headache for a lot of people in California. The major headwind is memory chip prices.
Well, yeah, right.
Okay. What if all of a sudden you run a little pizza joint and all of a sudden mozzarella cheese can't get through the Strait of Hormuz or whatever the case may be, and everybody wants mozzarella cheese, and mozzarella cheese goes from $9 a pound to $40 a pound? That's a major headwind for your pizza joint. And if you're putting a lot of memory chips into everything you make, everything Apple makes has memory chips in it. And memory chips have tripled in value. The other one I noticed here, Samsung stock is going down because they have a major strike going on.
Yep.
And SK Hynix is going up. Those are the two South Korean. There's only four memory stock makers in the world. And, with that strike, that's only driving up the price and lowering the supply of another headache for Tim Cook. The Minnesota trip coming up. I've been going to Minnesota for the last 15 years, probably. A lot has changed in Minnesota over the years, as a lot of the locals will attest to. But we still have a lot of clients and a lot of followers, a lot of fans, I guess you could say, in Minnesota. And that thing is really filling up. We're going to have a big crowd at the workshop there. Let me get my calendar up here in front of me. On
Tuesday, the 19th?
19th, yeah, Tuesday.
May 19th. And May 19th, 20th, and 21st.
We'll be in Minnetonka, which is a great suburb of Minneapolis. We'll be at a really nice Marriott where I usually get the room with the view of the air conditioning unit, and it clinks all night, you know, while I'm trying to sleep. But hopefully Edie books me a better... I'm just kidding. But I usually do. I don't know. I'm just not very lucky that way. Like, how about a view of the lake or the mountains? We don't have mountains here in South Carolina. I could use a view of some mountains right now. So, Tuesday night will be a workshop from 7 to 9 p.m. We usually have standing room only at a workshop by Bill Gunnarsson. And hopefully it's going to be televised on our little personal YouTube channel. We're working on that. Hopefully have it up and running by then. But the most important thing we do while we're there, besides finding a good restaurant to eat at every night, that's important. I usually don't get any time off.
We don't usually get much for lunch, so dinner's important.
Trail mix for lunch all day while we're meeting with folks, and that's what I was going to say, the meeting with the folks. So far we've got three straight days of one-hour closed-door meetings at a nice conference table. We'll have cold drinks, hot drinks. No hard drinks, no. Gunnarsson doesn't do that. And snacks. But most of all, we'll have some experts sitting around the table, my team, including myself, discussing your financial matters, your retirement plans, your goals, your dreams, and where you're at currently on that pathway. And those one-hour appointments are a pretty hot ticket. Maybe we should... I've heard that you can go on StubHub, Barry, and sell it to someone else for... No, I'm just kidding. They're free, you know. But if you want to set up an appointment with us, I have told Edie I'll stay Friday if I have to. I'll stay Saturday. I do have to get home Sunday. I'm in charge of some things on Sunday at church that I have to be home for. But I will accommodate all those who want to meet with us while we are in Minnetonka, Minnesota, not too far from where Bob Dylan grew up, a complete unknown till he got to New York City and started writing some of the great songs of all time. And, of course, home to Prince there in Minnesota, and Harmon Killebrew. Who could forget Harmon Killebrew? And Bud Grant, the old coach of the Purple People Eaters. We will be there to reserve a spot, 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. We currently have a record number of people getting the live trading alerts every day. That keeps me busy. I'll be teaching a lesson to the protégés, and I'll say, I have to stop, send out a message. I just saw a chart I like. I'm going to buy this stock. And they go back to studying their books. They're studying to get their licenses. Barry, you know how that is. And Gunnarsson sets out his trading alert. And, of course, I do my opening salvo in the morning, and I do my closing salvo in the evening, and anything in between that I find to be noteworthy. I'm a guy that looks at 600, 700 stock charts, maybe 1,000 every single day, and there maybe be three or four that really stand out. That's how hard you have to look to find those gems. But that's the thrill of the chase. It's the thrill of the chase that keeps me getting up every morning and doing what I do. I love what I do. I love the thrill of the chase. To get a four-week trial to said newsletter that I wrote, again, this Saturday, it's in the 90-page area. It is a template that I update every week, but it still takes me a good 10 hours, I would say, from the time I begin it on Friday afternoon to the time I send it out early in the wee hours of Sunday morning. It's my internal research that I do for me, but I share it with you, and I also give you access to my powerful Best Stocks Now app that I invented about 10, 15 years ago that I use as the backbone of my stock selection process. Does it produce results? Get the newsletter, look at the portfolios and see how they've done over the last 7 years since I developed these portfolios for Seeking Alpha, where I'm also a writer, a frequent contributor. We got about four articles right now lined up. We look like LAX. As you look out to the east at LAX, you could probably see 20 lights of planes coming in for a landing at LAX. It's something to behold. And, I've got about four articles right now that I need to put the finishing touches on and get them off to Seeking Alpha. Hopefully that'll happen this week. But to get that four-week trial to everything, AMD will report, GundersonCapital.com or 855-611-BEST. AMD will report earnings tomorrow. That has been one of the best stocks in the market recently. I would just say that with this trend going on in earnings beats and earnings revisions higher, why should we expect anything less from AMD? But then you don't know how much of that's already been baked into the cake. That's the other wild card. So it continues to go well. 2026 has been a record year for us. A lot of things have happened, and I feel like, shoot, the year's one-third over. We still got two-thirds to go, and I'm not going anywhere. I'm fired up to, man, we could have a record year here. We already have, and it's only one-third of the way through the year. Again, to get the newsletter, to get everything I offer in my four-week trial, and the trading alerts every day, 855-611-BEST. To sign up for Minnesota, 855-611-BEST. I think we're going to Dallas after that. Maybe Atlanta, maybe Pittsburgh. I got to narrow it down. Maybe San Francisco. If you want to place your vote of where you'd like us to go, I think the prediction markets have us at Dallas, Bill taking the month off. No, that's a 0% chance of Bill taking the month off. I like Dallas.
No, clients know that nowadays to look for where the Padres play. You never know.
Well, yeah, they beat the Chicago White Sox last night 4-3, and we're out of time. Have a great day, everybody.
Solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is